0 auf 100. Aral feiert 100 Jahre mit über 100.000 Gewinnen. Zum Beispiel ein Jahr frei tanken. Jetzt ein Dankeschön, Rubbellos zu jedem Einkauf. Alle Infos auf aral.de. Aral, alles super.
Eiszeit FM, der Eishockey-Podcast.
Einen schönen guten Abend. Eiszeit FM ist zurück. Euer Familienprogramm zu den Adler Mannheim and All Things Hockey. Eiszeit FM ist der Phil. Hi Phil, schönen guten Abend.
Hi Sven, grüß dich.
Ja, und Eiszeit FM bin eben auch ich, der Sven. Wir treffen uns mal wieder in einer sehr besonderen Runde. Ihr könnt euch denken, worum es geht, zumindest die, die irgendwie Eishockey verfolgt haben die letzten Tage. Irgend so ein Spieler hat eine Auszeichnung gewonnen. Darüber werden wir sehr ausführlich reden. Bevor wir darüber reden, der kurze Hinweis, die Sendung wird heute wieder in Englisch sein, weil wir einen Gast haben, zu dem wir gleich kommen. Vorweg aber noch ein anderer Hinweis, wir werden, das ist das erste Mal, dass wir eine Sendung, ihr wisst, ihr könnt uns bei Steady unterstützen. Ihr findet uns da STEADY und dann einfach Eiszeit FM noch dazu eingeben. Ihr könnt unsere Unterstützerinnen und Unterstützer, ist ein Weg, Danke zu sagen. Wir werden ihnen die Show vorab zur Verfügung stellen. Soll heißen, wenn ihr sie hört, werden sie andere schon vorher gehört haben. Das ist ein kleines Dankeschön für an diejenigen, die uns durch die schwere Zeit ein Stück weit auch unterstützen, die das schon lange tun. Und dafür wollen wir an der Stelle auch mal öffentlich Dank sagen. Das ist keineswegs selbstverständlich und dafür kriegen sie diese Sendung früher. Aber Sendung, Gast. Über wen könnten wir besser reden? Über Mosaida, als über Mosaida, um den es heute natürlich geht. The one and only Jake Nagy is in the house. Welcome, Jake. Great to have you on the show.
Thank you, guys. It's good to be back. Wow, what a crazy 3 years it has been.
Yeah. How is it to be a star in an NHL with you?
it gets crazier every year, man. I just can't believe what a story it's become. And yeah, yesterday seeing the NHL post, I was just scrolling through my Instagram and then I went back and wait, that's me. That's my dad. It just gets funnier and funnier to see all the places the video pops up and just what's become of it. This friendship with you guys and many of you in Germany has been just such a incredible, meaningful, crazy experience of my life.
Just to give a short insight, I got the news, I think, around 2 a.m. in the morning, German time. And you were live on Insta and we wrote an hour or so. It was unbelievable. Goosebumps everywhere. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, I just can't believe what a journey it's been. And from that very first tweet I read, you know, the very first time I started seeing my face pop up on Twitter 3 years ago, and I'm seeing all these tweets in German, and I click translate, and the very first one I saw, someone said, "This guy has no idea how good Mo Sider really is," and I was right. He was right. I had no idea, but now I know, and now all Red Wings fans and all of the NHL knows our man is the Calder winner, man. It's unbelievable.
But our tweet, I think, was a shout out to the guys who losing their mind or looking like I don't know. Special greetings from Mannheim to them. That's what, and your reply was, "Oh, that's me and my father." So that's how it started. So
yes, I'm glad to this day. I'm very glad that I didn't use any four letter words because my mother would not have approved seeing that on TV.
So let's talk about a little bit about the development and all what happened and the journey in the last 3 years. We have all the time in the world. Feel free to elaborate. Going back to Vancouver, going back to this draft, nearly three years ago, and seeing Steve Yzerman, the Detroit Red Wings are taken with the sixth pick of the NHL draft. From Mannheim, Moritz Seider. Can you remember what was going on inside you at this time?
Yeah. Well, you know, the number one player that I really wanted the Red Wings to draft was Trevor Zegras, who I've gone on record saying, you know, I do know hockey pretty well. Yeah. And he came in second in the Calder. Stevie Y just knows hockey a little bit better than me. So I was really hoping to hear Zegras. I thought, you know, Cole Caulfield as well. You know, he's undersized, but he was someone that I really was hopeful for. We've really struggled with scoring since Datsyuk and Zetterberg have retired. And so I was really thinking we were going to go a forward. And it's funny because I had looked at the junior teams or who each player was from, because usually they say something like, you know, from Mannheim of the DEL. And so when you started to say that, my brain just started to kind of short circuit a little bit, because I'm thinking, I know like 30 players and where they're from. I don't know who is from Mannheim in the DEL. And then he says Moritz Seider, and I can just remember the gasp in the room of everyone. And there was just two seats next to me, this little boy, and he's just like maybe 8 years old, just starts laughing at me and my dad, because we're just standing there, our jaws hanging open, and this kid is laughing, and I'm just thinking, oh, what has just happened?
What's going wrong? This can't be this must be the wrong Steven Yzerman at this point, huh?
Exactly, because you know Yzerman is my childhood hero. I have played hockey since I was 5 years old. I've always only worn one number 19. Yeah. You know, he's my hero in life, and so to have him come back and become our GM, and I'm thinking, oh, this is perfect. And then this is the first thing that he did as GM, and I'm thinking, oh man, they picked up the wrong Steve Yzerman at the airport, I think, because I don't know who this guy is, what is going on, and wow, was I wrong?
Now everyone knows Steve Yzerman was right.
Yes, indeed.
How have you we had discussions, we wrote a lot over the years, but how have you followed Moore as a player? I mean, he was in Sweden. He played for Grand Rapids 1 year. Have you seen games from him in Sweden also, or the World Cup? Or
yeah, you know, I watched the Griffins a bit, so got to watch him his first year post draft, and I mean, I think one of the first times, just remembering how impressed I was at the World Juniors, and just the way that he physically dominated, you know, his peers. I think that just really started to stand out very quickly. And then, you know, over the years, as we've been on technology more and more with everything going on in the world, you know, I found ways to try to watch a bit in Sweden. And there's a popular, I'm actually off of Twitter now. America's been a crazy place, and so I took some time away from Twitter because our country has been on fire a little bit. So I deleted my Twitter, but I check this Twitter account quite often, All Hockey Gifts. It's a guy who posts a lot of the players playing in Sweden, and so, you know, it has become not only Seider, but also I think, you know, last year was Joe Valeno was also playing, Lucas Raymond, you know, most of our, you know, Teddy Niederbach, a lot of these guys have been playing in the SHL. And so try to catch a few of those games as well. But I think really was hoping and keeping my fingers crossed that Seider would be on the Red Wings this year. Here I am thinking, I'm just hoping he would be on the team, much less winning the Calder and what Lucas Raymond has done. It's been incredible.
Phil, when we talked the first show with Jake, we talked about how good can Seider be at the end of the time, how we see him, what we expect from him. And we said we don't think he's a top two defender. He's on second row, three or four. We underestimated more, just a little bit, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, we got no ideas. So
yeah.
How good this kid will be. So yeah, it's amazing. You said it. His development is unbelievable, and he's still 21 years old. So how will you run? Who will you run? The sky's the limit, isn't it? It feels so. And yes. The big man on the back is Stevie Eisenman, you have to say it. And Jack, you said it before, he's your hero since you're 5 years old. And he got so many patience. So I think every good GM at the NHL got patience, and he made the decision to pick him out at the 6th overall. He made the decisions to let him play at the Grand Rapids, and then 2020 to send him to Sweden to let him play in the SHL. And there, Sider was NHL ready after the season in Sweden. You saw it, the internet was full of Sider's highlight when he checking hard his opponents, and that was so great. And now he played NHL, and he was directly on the next level. At his first game against Tampa Bay, he made 2 assists, and he stole the puck off. I didn't know which player it was, but...
Victor Hedman, yeah.
It was Hedman, yeah. The big Swedish man, oh. Yeah. And he said, yeah, I'm a rookie, but I don't care. I'm more side and you, I yeah. play my game. So, and that is really impressive.
Yes.
Jake, how was it for you seeing Mo coming to Detroit? I think you have to say the city of Detroit is at the moment, sports-wise, not the best town to live when you look at hockey, football, basket, the NBA team, the Pistons are also not that good. So how was he approached, and how was your approach when you see Mo for the first time with the Red Wings?
Yeah, you know, it's been pretty crazy just seeing Detroit sports light up again. Like you said, it's been a hard decade now, almost really, since there's been any success for any of our teams. And to see him in the Red Wings starting lineup, to see Lucas Raymond, I think fans were just excited that they were going to play. But what I think has blown me away most is, and why I'm just not ever going to say that we've reached Sider's ceiling ever, because every time that I think, wow, he's really taken a step forward, and this guy is even better than we thought he was going to be, he just gets even better. I mean, I remember after the first couple of games of the season, I remember talking with my dad on the phone and just saying, you know, it's like every time we think we've reached the next level with Mo, he just takes another step and another step and another step. And that, you know, for a player of his age, is probably what you love to see more than anything, because you just have no idea how good he can be. And, you know, this season has been very special for me in a number of ways. We were just chatting, but I became a father this year for the first time. And so for myself, I'm a teacher, and so I have busy days. And so for having time for 2 months after my baby was born, I got to be at home and spend time with her, probably the most special time in my life. But what I would do with her every night was just hold her here in my arms and watch the Red Wings, and to actually get to watch a team that is starting to be good again is really special. And it's starting to be good again because of Moritz Seider. And that idea that his ceiling, we haven't even come close. I think that is more exciting to me than anything else as a Red Wings fan right now.
Can we talk a little about his game? In Germany, you see always these clips with his hard hits and the next check of Seider and all that stuff. But I think this is only one point of view of his game, one factor in his game, one special factor. Clear, he's very physical for such a young defender. That's far from normal. It makes him very special. But his ability on the ice, his skating, his view, his eye, his playing intelligence. I think there's so many other factors that make him that good.
Yeah, 100%. I think it was interesting, too, just seeing clips of him in Sweden and watching a game or two. He was so physically just imposing himself. I mean, constantly. It was every game, just crushing some guy. And then the first, you know, 10 games or so in the NHL, it seemed like maybe he was focusing on other, kind of developing other parts of his game. And then I feel like the back half of the season, that reverse hit, you know, he dumps the puck in and nails some guy. He's obviously showing people that his game is multifaceted. And as he focuses and develops each part of his game, it's really been incredible to watch the pieces come together. But to me, what you said, his hockey IQ, to me, is just off the charts. I mean, it's like, you know, I think what makes a player truly elite is when they're able to see the game one step before everyone else. And that becomes more and more difficult to do the higher you play. I mean, even myself, just growing up playing hockey, that to me, players would become more physically strong and better with the puck. But the players who really started to separate themselves were always the ones who had that ability to see the play kind of right before it happens. And he does that constantly. He's able to see the play kind of develop before his peers, which is incredible considering he's only played 82 games in the NHL. And to me, the thing that is constantly, it makes me laugh, it makes me smile, I'm just blown away, is his maturity on the ice. Certain things he does with the puck, I haven't seen a Red Wings defenseman do this since a guy named Nicklas Lidström. Like, it's just crazy the confidence he has, but not a recklessness, because sometimes in the league today you get these overconfident young players, but they're kind of reckless. They are making poor decisions because they're trying to do too much. That's not what he does. He has a maturity to his game, but a confidence. Some of the plays he makes on the blue line, stick handling a guy on the blue line, you know, the Red Wings commentators, Mickey Redman, he's always just like, this kid has some stones on him, man. He has so much confidence. It's really quite remarkable to see a player who is 20, 21 years old, who plays the game like he is a 15-year veteran in the NHL. That to me is just, I don't know where it comes from, but it's amazing.
After the first draft, Seider was drafted at pick 6. Was there any discussion about the way the Red Wings choose for Seider? That it's too slow, that when you pick a player as number 6, your first round pick with the high expectations coming around at this position, that it's too slow to let him play these 2 years not in the NHL?
Yeah, I think the number one thing that I heard, and you know, our American Detroit sports media coverage would often comment on, was that his offensive ceiling wasn't as high, that he's a big guy, he can skate. I always, you know, reading that he was a decent skater, I think is a poor characterization of his game. He's an excellent skater. I think he's proven a lot of people wrong there, but everything I had read was kind of, oh, he's a good defensive defenseman, but his offensive ceiling is just not that high, which has obviously, again, this might be the theme of our conversation.
Yeah.
He's way better than anyone thought. To lead not only NHL rookie defensemen in assists, but to lead all NHL rookies in assists. Mm-hmm. On a team who can't score, mind you, he can only pass to two or three guys on his team who can put the puck in the net. So to have, I think it was maybe 48 assists at the end of the year. 43 assists at the
43,
end of the
year. 43, yeah.
For a guy who's playing with, you know, not a strong NHL team is really just astonishing, because I think that has been the number one critique still, or why he wasn't in the NHL yet. Let him develop his offensive game a little bit, but I don't think there's anyone who's wondering about that anymore. His advanced statistics, his analytics, that's something I've really been impressed by as well. It's one thing to look at a player on the ice and the eye test, he passes it with flying colors, but analytically, statistically, he is so far and away our best defenseman at such a young age. It really is incredible, both offensively and defensively. He's all around just developed his game to an incredible degree.
What stucks me the most when I look in the stats is the point that he's the player with the most time on ice of all Red Wings, with 23 minutes every night.
Yes.
It's uncomparable. I've never seen something like this before, of a rookie player in his first season playing 23 minutes every night.
Yeah, it's remarkable, and it's especially remarkable because Jeff Blashill, the Red Wings coach for the past seven seasons, has been notorious for not playing young players very much at all. He has has been the number one criticism, and to be fair, the number one reason why Jeff seems like a good man, but the number one reason why I'm glad he's not the Red Wings coach moving forward is that people have been, I think, fairly critical of his development of our young players. Philip Zadina has not progressed the way many Red Wings fans wanted. Michael Rasmussen has struggled. You know, these are early top 10 picks, and he doesn't, you know, Zadina is often stuck on the fourth line, and it's like, why? You got to let him try things and make mistakes. And so my biggest fear with Sider coming onto the team was that he was going to be buried in the third pair playing with Danny DeKeyser, who is, you know, about 57 years old and it was good in his prime, but his knees have just given out. And, you know, that was my fear. And so if you had told me of all the stats of Sider this year, 43 assists, Calder winner, the thing that would have surprised me the most is that Jeff Blashill would have played him that many minutes a night. But it's not because of any other reason than he forced Jeff Blashill to play him that much because he is that mature and he plays like an NHL veteran despite being, you know, 21 years old. It's remarkable.
But let us talk about the Detroit Red Wings a little bit. You said it before, it's a no-scoring team, or low-scoring team, and got 26 points out of a Stanley Cup playoff spot, and missed the postseason for a 6th-8 season, I think. So, but how do you see the Red Wings in the next couple of years?
Yeah, it's the first time I felt hopeful in 6 years, to be really 10 years, because the Red Wings probably should have started our rebuild 3 or 4 years before, but I think they wanted to keep the playoff streak going, you know, which was impressive, 25 years making the playoffs. But I think that it set us back in our rebuild. And so it's been a long time since I felt hopeful as a Red Wings fan, but I do right now more than I have in a decade. There's a buzz in the air talking to other Red Wings fans. People are just so excited. I went to see the Red Wings play against the Seattle Kraken. I live in Portland, Oregon, and so it's about two and a half hours from Seattle. And so going up to see Seattle play this year, I was struck by one thing. I joked that the Red Wings, more than any team in the NHL, when you go see a game, the 90% of the jerseys are players who have not played for the Red Wings in a long time. Yeah. Because no one wanted to buy, you know, a jersey of Justin Abdelkader or, you know, Riley Shahan, you know. But this year, and this is a road game, the amount of 53 jerseys that I saw, obviously, I see my background. I've got mine. I was wearing my Sider jersey. I saw many. It was actually sold out in the Red Wings team store. Like, they literally sold out of Mort Sider jerseys. And that to me communicates just how excited fans are about the direction the team is heading. Obviously, watching the Stanley Cup right now, you know, that Tampa Bay Lightning, the back-to-back champions, that's a team that Steve Yzerman constructed, you know, 95% of that team. And so when you see the way he's building, it seems that he's replicating a lot of the pieces that he tried to put into place in Tampa Bay. You have, you know, your large, well-skating, imposing European defenseman, Victor Hedman for Tampa Bay, Moritz Seider for Detroit. You have, you know, smaller but smart hockey players.
Just stop the thing. It's unbelievable when you look 1 year back and that you compare Victor Hedman, playoffs MVP, 1 year ago with Moritz Seider. And you say as the new normal, it's the standard, he said, but we have to, sorry for interrupting, but this point shows everything.
Yes. Yeah, because like you said, even 3 years ago when we talked, you guys were saying, I really think he could be a second pairing defenseman. And now we're 82 games into his career comparing him to Victor Hedman. But I think it's fair. He just continues to improve, where you can see that falling into place. You can see Lucas Raymond kind of has these shades of some of the smaller, hardworking, smart players like Braden Point or Anthony Cirelli. You know, obviously Stevie drafting Simon Edvinson out of the SHL last year. Another player who's large but skates well, I think has a very high ceiling. And then trading up to draft Sebastian Kosa, hopefully the Red Wings goalie of the future. He's a big guy, a lot like Vasilevsky. So it seems that Stevie is kind of laying a very similar blueprint to what he did in Tampa Bay here in Detroit. And that starts with Moritz Seider. So it's exciting. We don't have a coach at the moment, which most Red Wings fans, again, no ill will to Jeff Blashill as a person, but we're mostly excited that he's moving on. I think it was the right time to make a move there. And, you know, Steve Yzerman operates very quietly. You don't hear many rumors about he's a very private person. He keeps a lot of things in house. But I have a very strong hunch that the next coach of the Detroit Red Wings is going to be someone from Tampa Bay's coaching tree, whether that's Lalonde or Halpern or even their AHL coach. I would be, if I was a betting man, I would put some money on someone from Tampa Bay's system being the next coach of the Red Wings, because I think Stevie is really trying to replicate what has obviously worked well in Tampa Bay here in Detroit.
Yeah, and as they are still competing, it's a good sign that there is no announcement till now. So
yes,
it's when you look at the team of the Red Wings, what springs to your eye is that when you look at the age of the team, of the player signed, the oldest is 29, you see 25, 26, 27, 26, 24, 21, 23. So you have a very young core of players, and they can play for a very long time if you can pay him, as I have to add, as a Leafs fan. But so you can build a core and adding free agents to them, and that gives you a very bright perspective at the moment.
Yeah, it sure does. And I think that young core and building through the draft, that's the way to make a team in the modern NHL that's going to succeed for a long time. You have to hit your top draft picks. I mean, most teams who have won the cup in the last 10, 15 years, they've had picks in the top five multiple years. I mean, look at the Avalanche in Tampa Bay. You know, both of those teams hit high on those picks. But you're right, we have a very young core. I mean, Dylan Larkin is now the grizzled old veteran in the locker room who seems like a kid still to me. You know, he really he's only, I think, 28 years old himself. Tyler Bertuzzi. You know, it seems to me, Sven, to your point, that Stevie has realized the core of this team is going to be Seider, Raymond, Edvinson. You know, that is when we're really going to be contending, not just for the playoffs, but for the Stanley Cup. And I really am curious what this summer holds for us as a franchise, because I think there are kind of two paths for Yzerman. The first being the team is improving. We get a better, you know, get a new coach. Boston seems to be maybe heading into a rebuild. You know, the possibility of Bergeron retiring and Pasta maybe demanding a trade. So maybe there's a room opening up there. But when I look at the division, I still think Tampa Bay, Toronto, and Florida are just in another class right now. We're not competing with those teams yet. And so I'm curious if Yzerman is going to, perhaps one road would be trade Tyler Bertuzzi for more picks and prospects and really build with this young core? Or do you keep a guy like Tyler Bertuzzi and re-sign him? Because that's the type of player who plays well in the playoffs and, you know, kind of has a little bit more grit to his game. You know, Larkin, I think, is a guy that you would want to keep around. But it seems to me that he's really pushing for the core of the team being built around the age group that Seider and Raymond and Edvinson and you know, some of these guys are in. So it'll be interesting to see what we do. I have seen some rumors of the Red Wings, you know, Alex DeBrincat or Pasternak. I just don't see that at the moment right now. I think we'd have to give up too many assets when we're still still rebuilding, I think it makes more sense to keep building through the draft. And then once we're already a playoff team, that's when you trade a first round pick for a guy like DeBrincat. I mean, it'll be another player, you know, because this would hopefully be in a few years from now. But I think you keep being patient. And, you know, Phil, what you said, Steve Yzerman has patience. He lets his players develop, and he has an eye for young talent that I don't think many other general managers have. And he has the added benefit of probably the most loyal group of fans to any general manager, not just in hockey, but maybe in sports, because Yzerman has been our savior, our messiah once before. And so I think he knows he can take his time. A lot of general managers feel rushed. They need to get back to the playoffs so that their owners will be happy. I don't think Yzerman feels that pressure because we know what a genius he is, and we trust him. He's done it once before as a player. He's done it once before as a general manager. And so I think Red Wings fans are pretty patient to let Yzerman do his thing. So I don't expect us to make the playoffs next year, although with Seider and these kids, we probably will, because they just continue to be even better than we expect. But I hope that in 4 to 5 years, that is when we're contending for a Stanley Cup and not just the playoffs.
But Yzerman,
Philippe, sorry.
Yeah, alles gut. But Yzerman has to make a next big decision after the next season, because next season it's the last year of Seider's entry level contract. So what do you think? Which kind of contracts will it be for Morrow?
Yeah, you know, Yzerman has liked the bridge contract here and there for different players like Bertuzzi, you know, for Mantha. But to me, when you have a player of Seider's capacity, you lock him up for as long as you can. And, you know, I was listening just this morning to the Winged Wheel podcast. It's one of my favorite Red Wings podcast, my second favorite hockey podcast behind
Side number FM. Two. We want to clarify.
You are number one. and they were talking about this very question, and you know, they were talking about Cale Makar, you know, $9 million. I think that's where you start with Seider, because as the cap is going to go up, and it probably will. You know, it's been a little bit stagnant with COVID and you know, the impact on the economy and these teams and whatnot. But I think that deal very possibly starts with two digits in the millions. I can see him coming in at 10 million. And to be fair, he if he continues to just exceed expectations, you sign him for as long as you possibly can, because what I've seen from this kid is that he will make whatever contract we sign him to look like a good deal, no matter how much money it is, because, you know, the best players in the NHL continue to improve. And I think you see that in Seider. So if I'm Steve Yzerman, I'm locking Seider up for as long as I can. And if I was Seider's agent, I would be shaking him down for every penny I could possibly get.
But I think the Makar contract will set the bar for and the tone for the Seider contract on this level. I think Makar is, from a German perspective, I haven't seen that much games, but I think Makar is, at the moment, he's longer in the NHL, but at the moment he's perhaps the most dominant defender in the whole league.
Yes, yeah. And I would agree. Watching him in the Stanley Cup, you know, as a Red Wings fan, I hate the Avalanche. I obviously don't like seeing them succeed. But Cale Makar is special. I mean, Wayne Gretzky on NHL Tonight here on American television, Gretzky just fawns over this kid, like, after every game. And when the great one is talking about how good you are, you know, that's a sign of in just elite level player. I think Makar's offensive game is pretty unrivaled in the NHL right now amongst defensemen. He scores like nobody I've seen in a long time. But I think that Seider's size combined with his skating will make him defensively as strong as Makar.
Yeah.
If not, you know, physically even better than Makar. I think Makar's offensive game for NHL D-men will be tough to beat by anybody for many, many years. But I would not be surprised if Kale McCarr, Moritz Seider, and one other are the Norris candidates for 4 or 5 years in a row during their primes.
Yeah. It's crazy that also McCarr was picked as number four in his draft. I don't know if anyone knows Nolan Patrick, picked at from the Philadelphia Flyers as number two in this year. It's crazy. It's always that you think, perhaps this was also your fault at the draft at Vancouver. When you think of the draft, you always look for the scorers, for the ones who score the goals for your team. And defense is an aspect of the game which falls a little bit behind. And sometimes one tends to forget how dominant these defensemen can be. We talked about Hedman in the playoffs last year. We talk about McCarr. We talk about Seider for the Red Wings this year. Their impact is very big, as also they have more time on the ice as the attackers.
Yeah. Yeah, especially like you said, Seider playing 23 minutes a night. There's no forward for the Red Wings that's playing 23 minutes a night. And those numbers, let me tell you, they're only going up as far as how many minutes he's going to play a game, because you know, as his role continues to grow on this team, which I got to say, too, something you guys told me really early on about Seider is what a leader he is, what a fun guy he is in the locker room. And to see the video that the Red Wings social media put out, all the players congratulating him, calling him Momo, and, you know, that you can see they love him. And I was struck, Joe Valeno, you know, these two have done on the Red Wings YouTube the Mojo show, which Red Wings fans just love their personalities coming out. And getting to see Seider have fun and be kind of goofy. But in that video the Red Wings social media put out of Valeno, are all the players congratulating Seider on winning the Calder. Valeno, you could see that Seider has made a real impact on him as a person. I mean, he was like saying things, you know, you've really helped me through a lot. You've encouraged me, and I love you, man, and so happy for you. I mean, that's not like a short little tweet that you put out. That you could see how much he means to so many of these guys already in the locker room, and it's one season in. So I expect in short order for there to be an A on Moritz Seider's chest on his Red Wings jersey.
Perhaps next year already.
I think so.
Okay. Wow. Yeah. This would be another big step. To be honest, I haven't expected this. When you said to me, Mo will win the Calder after his first year, I said, I don't think so. He will win the system and he will have an A on his shirt in the second year. I don't think so. But he's a good player. He's a good guy. But what you always see is challenge. The bigger the challenge, the better he is. He's always can match with his level of play, with his level of attitude to the challenges he faced. And this is unbelievable.
Yeah, it really is. And that's the type of player you want to build your team around. Someone who's willing to always do what it takes to reach that next level. And I love his attitude towards the end of the season. One of the reporters asked him, Moritz, what would it mean for you to win the Calder? And he said, I don't care. That's not what I'm focused on right now. I'm focused on helping this team win. We were already eliminated from the playoffs. You know, there's not much to play for. You could see a lot of his teammates had started to not skate into the corners as hard. You know, not the passes weren't as crisp. The back checking wasn't as – you never saw that. Never saw that from Seider. 82nd, last game of the season. He was busting it. Like it was, you know, game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals. And that's what you want to see from a guy who's going to wear a letter on his jersey. Yep. And so I if I was Stevie, I would certainly make that decision.
Was there ever a point of doubt that in your mind that he will win the Calder when you heard the nominees, Bunting playing a big season in Toronto, playing in the first line with Matthews, Jarrod Sigrist, you talked about him already, playing a fantastic season also for the Ducks. But was there ever any doubt in your mind, or was this no clue?
Well, you know, Sven, I know you're a Leafs fan, but, you know, most Red Wings fans, we were joking about Michael Bunting. You know, he's moving into a retirement home next year, I think.
Yeah, he's already quite old. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, and Zegras, I think Zegras was the one I was a little worried about, maybe just a little, because not because I think he deserved it, but because the NHL media has made such a big deal about, oh, his lacrosse goal, and, you know, yeah. Oh, look at him in the All-Star competition. And I just thought, you don't give the award to the guy who has the most Instagram followers. You give the award to the best rookie of the year, and that was Moritz Seider. And so, you know, my only worry was that, or that, you know, the Red Wings don't get as many games nationally on TV right now as we used to, because we've been bad for many seasons. And I guess I worried maybe a little bit that just some of the voters would not have watched enough games of us to realize not just statistically how good he was, but what a force he was on the ice, that every time he stepped on the ice, he was making an impact. And certainly there was no reason to be worried, because I think he received 170 of 195 first place votes. I mean, that's a landslide. There wasn't even close. And so I'm glad that not only did he win, but he won almost unanimously with the first place votes, which I think is well deserved.
You talk about the impact of Seider, not as that, but then I leave it behind for sure. He made 7 goals. It's not that much, but it's for defender. It's the most of the Red Wings team. But 4 of them were game winning goals. That's where impact comes from, where you take responsibility for your team, where you should show what you're made of, I think.
Yeah, like you said, he every time the challenge is more intense, he rises to it. And I think you saw that with the overtime winners, the one against Buffalo, I'll always remember, and just going crazy and holding my daughter, watching him score these crucial goals. It's been just a special year to see that he's done it in the biggest moments when we needed it most. And, you know, we have struggled. Detroit has struggled in overtime. When you lack skill 3-on-3, the game just becomes tougher and tougher. So the Red Wings have struggled in overtime of recent years. But this year, I wanted every game to go to overtime, because watching him and Raymond and Larkin and their speed and their playmaking together, you just felt when it got to 3-on-3, we had a better chance of winning. And so it has been fun. I think he'll continue to score more goals. But as you said, you know, he led the Red Wings in defensemen in goals, and I expect that to continue. But to me, you know, that's not even a stat I'm too concerned with at this point, because his ability to distribute the puck and his defensive game, those are the things that have blown me away. And I think as the team gets better, he will score more and more goals, because when the puck comes to him on the power play, everyone crowds him, because he's one of our best threats to score, even though he's a defenseman. Yep. So I think as the team improves, Seider will continue to score even more goals.
Yeah, he's taking the second most shots of the game. It's also a stat where you think, for player first year coming into a new league, into the biggest show on earth for a hockey player, and to have the self-confidence to be so consistent, it's unbelievable. So is this something, you think he's playing with man over the last years, that this comes to his advantage at this point?
That is certainly something that a lot of Red Wings fans have been thinking about, especially looking at this year's upcoming draft in July. Is Yzerman has seemed to prefer early round draft picks that have played against men. Seider playing in the DEL. You know, Lucas Raymond playing in the SHL. Yeah. Lucas Raymond played very few minutes in the SHL, but it's the competition that you are practicing with and training with every day, the level of coaching. And then Simon Edvinson playing in the SHL this year was, I believe, one of the Rookie of the Year candidates in the SHL, which was actually won by Elmer Soderblom, who's also a Red Wings draft pick. So, you know, Stevie has really seemed to prefer these European guys who are playing against men. It seems to mature their game, I think, at a faster rate. And so, you know, some of the names I've seen for the Red Wings in this upcoming draft, Matthew Savoy, there's a few kids from the Canadian Hockey League, Cutter Gauthier from the United States Development Program. And I mean, I won't try to predict what Steve Yzerman's going to do. I obviously have done that once and I turned into a meme, so I won't I won't try to do it again. But if I had to guess, I would look at names like Marco Kasper, Jonathan Lekarimaki, guys who are playing already against men in Europe. He seems to really put stock in how that develops their game. And I think Sider is the prime example of how much that can mature you as a player, both mentally and physically. Even if you get less minutes, I think it has been Yzerman's preferred strategy and obviously paid off in Sider's game so far.
I looked at the draft picks for the next years. It looks very bright. You have all the picks for the first, second, and third round, and for also two additional second round picks in the next 2 years. So Stevie has a lot to do, and there's a lot of chances and lots of balance
out there. And I'm excited to see. I know I was asking you guys if there's any Germans that I need to be looking out for in this year's draft.
There's no one first rounder at Germany, but there's one guy named Julian Lutz. He's from Munich, but the big problem was he was injured. He only played 14 games for Munich last season, but he played the U18 World Juniors and played well and was at the combine at North America. And a lot of scouts said he will be a first rounder when he played the whole season, but he's the only one or the only guy who got some chances to get a good NHL career. Maybe he's a little bit not like the type of JJ Pataka, but he got the same potential.
Awesome.
Definitely. So yeah, Julian Lutz is one of these guys who have you ever on your eyes.
But that's great. But Pataka will be the next German we'll see in the NHL for sure. I think after his year in the AHL, it was awesome.
Yeah, and Lukas Reichel.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Germany's in the Olympics and any international competition will only continue to be stronger. They're really developing a strong core.
But we'll see. But what are your expectations for the next years? You said about in 5-6 years, Stanley Cup contender, you hope for. When you look back at the draft in Vancouver, the day before or the day before the draft began and what happened there, and comparing your mood today, seeing this young Red Wings team with the team 3 years ago, what is your mood looking at the future of the Red Wings, of the team and the organization?
Well, 3 years ago, the day before the 2019 draft, you know, Yzerman had just been appointed as our general manager, but he hadn't done anything. You hadn't felt his fingerprints on the team quite yet. And I think we all knew and hoped that he would do something similar to what he did in Tampa Bay. But I think I just felt so kind of tired as a fan. And so that was why I think part of why the Sider pick was so shocking, because I thought, oh, man, I don't know who this guy is. It will be so many years before if you had told me in 2022 that Sider would be playing for the Red Wings, I would have been really happy, much less winning the Calder. I didn't think that was in the cards. And so
no, not even for us, I think. Oh, yes. Do you agree?
No, there were no doubt.
Yeah.
We never doubted him. Yeah.
Yeah. Never.
Jürgen Klopp said when he started in Liverpool, we have to become from doubters to believers. That's always something that's in my mind.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And that's what, that's how I feel. That's my mood right now. I feel like I have gone from a doubter to a believer in this team again. And, you know, my wife, we've been together for 7 years. And, the first game that we watched together, first Red Wings game we watched together was when the Lightning eliminated the Red Wings from the playoffs, the last time that we were in the playoffs. And so, you know, now we've been together for 7 years. We have a baby together. And, you know, I laugh because my dad, my father, who is also the other one in the meme covering his face.
Yeah.
When Sider was picked, he was a Red Wings fan. My father grew up in Detroit. His parents both worked for Ford Motor Company, kind of very classic, typical Detroit family. Yeah. And so he waited his whole life to see the Red Wings win a Stanley Cup, had never seen them win a cup. He was born in 1965. And then when I was, you know, 3-4 years old, he finally got to see the Red Wings win the Stanley Cup. And so my hope, my belief is that when my daughter is that age, hopefully we will watch the Red Wings return to glory once again. So that, not to put too much pressure on you, Mo, but that's my hope.
So there could be no better end to this show, I think, with all the hope and all the stuff for you, your family, Noah, the next 3 years, seeing Mo winning the cup. You have your video from a Calder Cup winner.
Yes.
Yeah. So, and we promise we do Cider Watch more often after the first show. We said it won't be our last show with you.
Yep.
And here we are for the third time, and nothing more to say than it's always a very special moment to have you here. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you guys.
From all of us here.
It's so special to me. You know, I think my favorite thing about hockey is that it gives you something. I've often heard hockey described as the most important, least important thing. It's just a game, you know. Yeah. It's just a sport, people hitting a puck around the ice, but it can mean so much more. You know, it has been something that has bonded my family together. It's given me some of my greatest memories in life. And now it's given me friends from halfway around the world who will get to continue cheering Mo Sider on for many, many years together. And so I just am thankful for the game of hockey. I'm thankful for you guys, and thankful that you weren't too hard on me when I didn't believe in Mo at the very beginning. Thanks for being graceful towards me.
We have to do it the club way, I say. I have to
yes.
say. So, but,
yes.
So thank you, Phil.
Yeah, thank you, Sven, and thank you, Jake.
Thank you for listening out there. And see you, hear you next time. And we'll stay here, but that's for now. Thank you for now. And
we are out.
Mo has left the building. Ciao.
Bye-bye.
Von 0 auf 100. Aral feiert 100 Jahre mit über 100.000 Gewinnen. Zum Beispiel ein Jahr frei tanken. Jetzt ein Dankeschön rubbellos zu jedem Einkauf. Alle Infos auf aral.de. Aral, alles super.
Ich habe mich natürlich schockverliebt, weil die war wirklich ganz, ganz klein.
So begann die Mensch-Hund-Beziehung zwischen Christina und Tierschutz und Frieda. Und wie es danach, nach dem ersten Moment der Verliebtheit, so weiterging und welche Klippen es danach zu umschiffen galt, das hört ihr in der neuen Ausgabe von Iswas Dog, dem Podcast für harmonische Mensch-Hund-Beziehungen.
Iswas Dog mit Malte Asmus.
Überall, wo es Podcasts gibt.